My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I'm going to discuss with you in perhaps 30 minutes to 40 minutes a very important matter about our deen, al-Islam. Of course, you all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us on this earth for a purpose. And he mentioned this purpose in the Quran. He said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. We're on this earth as a test. Allah is testing us on earth. And this is not strange. Every single day, when you're on earth living, moving on in your day-to-day lives, there are tests as well. Your students, you know the concept of what a test is. You know when the teacher says to you, you're going to be examined. In maths, we're going to give you an exam this Friday. English, your test is going to be on Monday. What do you do before this exam? Of course, before the exam, well, I hope the vast majority of you study, you put some effort in, right? You memorize your work and you're stressing out the night before, a few days before. For some, they don't care. For some, but I hope the vast majority do care. So you put a lot of that effort, all that stress into that work and so on. And then you come to the day of the examination and you begin to answer the questions to the best of your ability. As you're doing your exam, you can do the necessary changes you want. You can liquid paper what you want. You can amend certain things. You can change certain things because the examination sheet is still in your hand. Once the bell rings or the time is over, you need to hand over the sheet. Once you hand it over, khalas, the exam's over and you can no longer do any change. Well, the same concept that we face in this worldly life is similar to what we are expecting in the afterlife. Allah Azza wa Jal created on earth and every moment of our life is an exam. Right now, think of having the examination sheet with us. We have an examination sheet right now. Right now in this worldly life, we can amend things in our life. We can liquid paper things. We can change things. Someone's behaving in a very bad manner. You can change that. It's not too late. You're upon some sort of sin. You can change that. You can amend. You can fix. Once we die, we've handed over the sheet. We've handed over this examination paper. And just like with every exam that is handed over, there is a day of results. On the day of result, you're either said you have passed your exam or you have failed your exam. And on the day of judgment, when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal for the ultimate judgment and accountability, the results will be as such. Either people have passed and those who have passed enter the paradise, or people come on the day of judgment, have failed their exam in this world, their life, and as a result, end up in the hellfire. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to save us from the fire and grant us the paradise. So which of the two exams is more important? The exam of this worldly life and meeting Allah Azza wa Jal, or the exam that you sit a few hours in this worldly life and you do, that's important. But the more important exam is the greater exam in where the results will be announced by Allah Himself. Why is that the greater examination? Because that's the exam and the test that Allah told us about in the Quran. And He promised for the one who passes it paradise and the one who fails it, the hellfire. Now this examination in this worldly life, what's it all about? What is Allah examining us? When you come to school, you're said or you're told by your teacher, you'll be examined on what you learned in mathematics. So you know your exam is going to be about maths. That's the questions you expect. But in this worldly life, it's a test. You've heard this concept. It's in the Quran, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ. It's a test. What is being tested? What does Allah Azza wa Jal want from you and I? What is the exam? The exam is your taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's what our talk is going to be in the remaining minutes we have. What is being examined is taqwa Allah. So now I'm going to ask a question. And I'm hoping that by the end of the lesson, you all walk out knowing exactly what taqwa Allah is. That's our lesson going to be, nothing more than that. Taqwa Allah. Who can now... And we're going to have vouchers for these matters, so we start giving out prizes. Who can raise his hand quietly and tell me something you know about taqwa Allah? Yalla, brother, start off with us. Bismillah, give us an answer. What's taqwa Allah? The fear of Allah, mashallah, an excellent answer, but there's a lot more to that. And that's a gift for you. By the way, these gifts are by our brother Rabi' from the Boulevard, the cafe. Boulevard, the cafe in Punchbowl. So may Allah Azza wa Jal reward him for his generosity. Who can, brothers and sisters, who can give me something else about what at-taqwa is? Okay, give me.
God consciousness.
MashaAllah, he said God consciousness. Excellent. Okay, so without wasting any time, let me tell you this. You have an addition to for us? What's your addition? Having trust in Allah, that's fantastic. Please pass it on to her. Ya Allah. Okay. Now let me have your attention. I'm going to break down this concept for you. I'm going to break down this concept in a very realistic, simplistic matter that you will never forget ever again, inshallah. But pay attention and learn. You've all heard this word, the taqwa of Allah. This is the essence of our relationship with Allah, and that is exactly what Allah is testing us on earth. If you come on the Day of Judgment and your taqwa of Allah is a tick, you've passed. If your taqwa of Allah was a cross, a person fails. Taqwa of Allah is two parts. Since this room is divided into two halves, I'm going to give you one half and the other side another half. We'll give examples on that and we're going to end. Here, when we say the taqwa of Allah, it means first and foremost, to do what Allah commanded and obligated. And the second part of a taqwa is to keep away from what Allah forbid and prohibited. Is that simple? That is what taqwa is. So let me go here and discuss some of the pressing matters on a taqwa that we need in our life. We said a taqwa is to do what Allah commanded. Give me from this side an example of what Allah commanded. Yes. Wearing al-hijab, mashallah, this is a voucher over there. Sorry? Prayer, mashallah, fantastic. This is also a voucher for you. And I want one more example from the back. Huh? Okay, mashallah, that's from what Allah commanded. Okay, excellent. Now, pay attention. One second. Listen to me now. We're still on this side of the room. I'm coming to that side when we get to that side. From the most important matters, okay, if we could just have your attention on this matter. From the most important matters that Allah obligated upon us, the first and foremost thing is something called at-tawheed. At-tawheed means to accept the oneness of Allah. So as a human being, we worship Allah and no one and nothing else. We don't worship any human being. We don't worship an idol, a stone, a monkey, a cow, or anything else. We don't worship any of that. We worship the Lord of the one who created all these matters, okay? Why? Because obviously He created us. He sustains us and provides for us. He caused our life. He causes our death. And He decrees all our affairs and matters. So why not? Why not worship Him and show absolute loyalty and love to Him? So we are loyal and we love Allah. And our love of Allah is not just we sit down and we say, oh Allah, I love you. Oh Allah, I'm pleased with you as my Lord. Rather, if you really love someone, you will do what they say, right? Imagine you continue to say, I love my mother. But then every time your mother says to you, do the dishes. You say, I can't be bothered now. Okay, she says to you, can you take the clothes out from the washing machine and dry them out. Yeah, mom, I love you, but I can't do that. What happens eventually? She will say, daughter, if you really loved me, you would have done what I said. So I don't believe that you love me, right? So a sign of loving someone is doing what they tell you. So now we love Allah Azza wa Jal, show and prove this matter by doing what He subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. So that's the first thing, at-tawheed. The second most important thing when it comes to the worship of Allah is what? Is what? Who can answer me? What's the prayer? Who said that? No, I went from this. You're coming. As-salat, yeah? Okay, yallah, give her. Yallah, bismillah. Hand it over. Yallah, the prayer. Okay. Listen to me very carefully. I'm going to tell you this. As-salat is a manifestation of your la ilaha illallah, of your tawheed. If you truly say la ilaha illallah from your heart, and if you truly love Allah, then don't display that in words, show it in actions. And the greatest action you will ever do that proves your love for Allah is the 5 daily prayers. Now, many youth today struggle with 5 prayers. They struggle. They don't pray 5 prayers on time. And it's very upsetting. Why? He says, Wallah, I love Allah, but I don't know, man. I can't find that energy to pray. I'm going to give you a tip now, a secret, private tip, that if you were to implement in your life, I will guarantee you 100% you will never miss a salah ever in your life. Listen to me very carefully. Very carefully, listen. You all have phones, or perhaps the majority of you have phones, right? Okay. And then you know that on the phone, there is an app that calls the adhan. Like what? Give me an example. Muslim Pro, mashallah. Excellent. Entered. Fantastic. There's a lot of apps that have the prayer times. This is what I want to do. That's the secret. Listen, listen. If you want the secret, listen. Listen. Whoever's struggling. Tonight, when you're on your phone, if you haven't downloaded the app, download it. Then turn on notifications. Make sure that your phone is notifying you for every time of salat. Either it vibrates, or there's a tone to it, or there's an adhan, or part of the adhan. As soon as your phone gives you a notification for as-salat, I want you to drop everything you have. Make wudu if you don't, and immediately rush to as-salat and pray. You know, if you do that, the prayer will never ever be a struggle in your life. The only reason for many people they experience difficulty with as-salat is because they keep delaying it. And the more you delay the salah, the more difficult it becomes. That's where the difficulty comes from. So, give you an example. You're sitting on your Xbox. Or you're sitting and you're playing what? Playing Roblox. Your phone vibrates. Okay. The girls play Roblox as well. Listen. No one is immune from this disease. Yeah? It's a disease. Listen. So this is what happens today. This is what is happening today. You're playing your Roblox. You're playing on your Xbox. And the adhan is called. Maybe your father says, come to salat. Maybe your mother's calling you to as-salat. And what are you saying? Shaitan, please with your mind. They say, after this level. When you finish, inshallah, you're going to pray after. You know what happens when you do that? As-salat starts becoming a burden. You're playing and you're thinking, man, this salat is just coming my way. Hala, later, I'll do it. When you say later, that means it's not a preference in your life. When you're delaying it and you're preferring to play, that means you've prioritized this more than that. What you're saying is that my entertainment, my joy, my pleasure from this game is a lot more important than a salat. So then what happens? You finish one level and you switch one more level. We're still in the time of salah, relax, there's no rush. You finish the next level. Another one, and your salat is being delayed. What happens? Salat feels like a huge burden now until the end of its time comes. And if you decided to miss it, what happens? Khalas, bye-bye, it's gone. The next one, you'll miss it as well. And the one after, salat is removed from your life. Why? Because of a silly, pathetic game that you achieved nothing in your life. So pray on time, and you're going to love a salat. Imagine you're on your Xbox or whatever. You can pause. If you're playing some multiplayer game, well, I'm sorry, you're going to have to tell the players with you, I'm leaving. Save me. Right? Protect me. I'm leaving the game. I need to go pray. You go, you pray. Come back to your game. Wallahi, you'll feel a million times better than if you were to delay it. Because the obligation's done. And you've proven to yourself that you love Allah. Every salat you pray, that is taqwa. Remember our talk? Taqwa? Every single command you do, that is how you practice taqwa in your life. Okay? Okay, that's very clear on this end. Let me come to this side, and we're going to end our talk with the brothers here. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. What was your name? Aiden, mashallah, our brother Aiden here, he received the first gift and he's been very well-mannered, mashallah, right? Okay, let's do this now. What did we say the second part of a taqwa was, which is on this side? No. What's on this side? No. The second part. Here, your part. Staying away from the prohibitions. Excellent. Allah. Okay, excellent. Okay, brothers, I want you to pay attention. So every single time you stay away from a sin, you've actually practiced and exercised what? Taqwa in your life. Taqwa, right? You understand? Some people, right, they think if they avoid the sin, so let's say someone's offered them a cigarette or a vaping device or al-haram that is accessed on the phones and so on. Sometimes people think, oh, you know what? This is haram in our deen and I have to keep away from it. But if I keep away from it, then I've deprived myself of some luxury and temptation. What did I get out of it? Every time you avoid a sin, you got out of it that you practiced a taqwa. And this taqwa is the exam in this life. And on the day of judgment, you will realize that every opportunity of haram that came on your doorstep and you turned away from it, you threw it out of your life. You weren't interested, even though you had a desire to do it, but you left it for Allah, you'll find that that is what is going to benefit you on the day of judgment. Allah Azza wa Jalla will be pleased with such a person. Like, look at this slave of mine. I gave him so much opportunity to do haram. He could have done it. It was very easy to do al-haram. But he left it for my sake. He preferred me over what he self prefers. Like your body loves to sleep in the morning. Why am I going to get up at 5 in the morning to pray? My body loves to sleep and rest. But then you say to yourself, now that's haram to do. I'm going to get up and pray on time. Because that's what Allah loves. And I want to prefer what Allah loves over what my own body wants. So I do that. That's taqwa. That's immense reward. Now let me tell you something. From the greatest devices and the greatest tools that expose the young Muslim to an abundance of sins and prohibition is this here, the phone. More specifically, social media on the phone. This here has become a huge disease. It has become like a gun in where we're shooting our own heart with it. It blackens the heart. There is an access of sins on this that is abnormal and crazy in the times that we live. Let me tell you this now. Very easy. It's very easy for you at night when you're alone and no one with you to open your social media and your finger goes wild in scrolling and going from profile to profile and sending friend requests and messages. Let me tell you this. From the matters that Allah forbid that has become a normal practice among a lot of our youth is the establishment of boyfriend-girlfriend relationships. You agree with me? Allahu Akbar. You agree with me? Listen to this now. I'm going to give you very important advice. Okay, boyfriend, girlfriend relationships are destroying a taqwa within us. I'm going to give you a tip now. Many years ago, for boyfriend and girlfriend to come and mix with each other, it was very difficult. I first had to check out this girl. I had to now find ways in how I can tell her that I want to meet up. How am I going to get her number? Because back then that's how it was. And if you did, you did. And then it takes a long mission to do that. Today it's very easy. All I need to know is her name or his name. Search it on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat. And just quickly press friend request. And then wait, let me see, it's not awkward now because it's not face to face, it's behind the screen. If I get a notification, request approved, Allahu Akbar, she loves me, right? Or he loves me. Khalas, that's boyfriend, girlfriend established among today's youth. The next step is this, and I'm going to give you serious advice. I really want you to listen. Could be funny now, but I want you to listen. So then the young brother, that is very tempted in this very tempting sexualized world, sends a message. Assalamu alaikum. Sister, I love you. Let me now tell you something. Very important. And to add to that, I tell you, don't be fooled and don't be tricked. From the additions today, to make it a little bit more Islamic, I love you for the sake of Allah. Nothing else. Okay, now listen to me. All of this goes against at-taqwa that we're trying to explain. Let me tell you something now. Sisters, if you were to ever receive a message from a man that is not related to you, and he says to you, please pay attention now, I love you, I want you to understand and really understand what I'm saying, that he actually does not love you. I'll explain. Give me a chance. Listen to me. Okay. Three things here. Number one, if this young man actually really did love you, why is he exposing you to sin and the anger and the punishment of Allah? He doesn't love you. So when you get this message, I want you to respond in this way. Say, wa alaykum as-salam, brother. Do you love that I enter the paradise and the mercy of Allah? If he says yes, I love that for you. So why are you talking to me? Why? And you end it right there. In all reality, the one who sends you this message, this inappropriate message, he actually loves himself. And he is using you for the love he has for his own self. It's a desire that has built in his heart, that has made him send you such inappropriate message or pictures or whatever it is they send. Don't fall for this trap. If he loved you, he would not have exposed you to the sin that goes against at-taqwa that we're explaining. He actually loves himself and he wants to use you for the love he has for himself. And the believer, in order to achieve at-taqwa in your life, you must love Allah more than you love your own self. How do you love Allah? By doing what Allah said and keeping away from what your desire is telling you to do, if it's a displeasing matter to Allah Azza wa Jal. The other thing is this. I tell you this. When you establish these haram relationships between boyfriend and girlfriend that go against at-taqwa, it is actually a betrayal to all your family members. And a betrayal to all your family members. You've betrayed your mother when you engage in this relationship, yes. You've betrayed your father, your uncles, your aunties, your brothers, your sisters, your nephews, your nieces, if you have that, your cousins, and everyone in your line of family, you have betrayed them all. Why? Why didn't you tell them about it? Why wouldn't you be open and honest and be proud and loud and say, this is what I've achieved and that's the relationship I am engaged and involved in? You wouldn't do that. You're doing it behind their back. That's the betrayal part. And you too. You've betrayed all your part of the family when you've agreed to do this boyfriend relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship. You've betrayed all your side of the family. Why didn't you tell them about this? Why are you so adamant to keep this private and to meet up in private and for no one to know? That goes against what marriage is all about. Islam taught us marriage. If you really loved each other, and there's no problem in this, can a man love a woman? Of course. But there is a halal type of love and there is a haram type of love. It's like we can love food, but eat what's halal, keep away from what's haram. You can love, but love in al-halal. Halal love would mean that I go to her parents' house and I say, dear brother, I am interested in your daughter. I want to marry her. So either two responses, either brother welcome, or other a slap in your face and you go back home, right? But that's the proper way. Okay. And the other thing is this, as gruesome and as nasty and as disgusting and abhorrent as it sounds, this is the reality. I want to tell you of a third matter. When you accept to establish a haram relationship, you are basically saying that I'm fine with some stranger doing this with those in my household. I tell you what I mean by this. A man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once. He said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to commit a zina. He wanted to do al-haram. Can you imagine? This is a hadith, authentic hadith. This is a young boy, right? A young boy just like you. I'm telling you, this is something that is natural and normal. But this young man came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission. I want to do zina with a woman I love. He knows it's haram. That's why he's seeking permission. So he's thinking, I may be an exception. Can you give me like an exception and like an exemption from this? I can do something I want. Listen to what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And this is for you to understand how merciful Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. Imagine a young boy today came to a sheikh and said to him, Sheikh, I want to do zina, give me permission. What's the sheikh going to do today? It's going to be a whole different idea, right? It's going to be a whole different response. But I want you to love your messenger. Look at Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He understood the youth. He connected with them on a way like no one would ever connect. The more you read about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's life, the more you're going to wish, I wish he was now among us and our teacher. Listen to what he said to this young boy. He said to him, come. He said, do you like for a person to do this to your mother? He said, no. He said, how about your sister maybe? He said, no. He said, how about someone doing this to your auntie? He said, no. So then, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand on this young boy's chest. And he said, oh Allah, forgive his sin. And oh Allah, purify his heart. Because the heart's diseased when you're wishing for a sin. And oh Allah, protect his privates that he doesn't do anything haram. The boy, the man, he said, he walked out. He said, when I entered upon the messenger, the most beloved thing to me was a zina. I couldn't wait to get that permission. The moment I left, he said, the most hated thing to me was a zina. So what we learn from this hadith is that if you're pleased to establish that haram relationship with a foreign woman, not from your family, what you're basically saying is I'm fine with people doing this with my own mother. That distance sounds horrible, but that's the reality. If you agree, I'm going to meet up with this girl somewhere in the back of a petrol station. I'm going to touch her and kiss her and then I'm going to go home. What you're saying is I'm fine with someone doing this with my own sister and my own mother and my own auntie. And no one would be happy to know this kind of statement and fact in his mind. You with me? Listen very carefully. These are very important points. Wallah, I tell you, we at times may giggle and laugh a little bit because it sounds funny, but you do not understand how many of our youth have already passed that red haram line and they are involved in so much haram. They are regretting themselves. They are basically in some type of severe depression. Some of them even fall pregnant to al-haram. Then what do they do? Abortion, that's murder, so haram, my murder. The family doesn't know. If the family knows, they are embarrassed. People end up killing their own family members, and that's not right. But the situation becomes so horrible. How do you cover it up? All because of what? Because of a disease, a desire you had in your heart you couldn't control. Where was your taqwa? Where was the taqwa? The taqwa was supposed to hold you back from al-haram. You can love whatever you want, but you can only love in that which Allah allowed us to love and keep away from haram matters. That is what at-taqwa is, and it's a lot beneficial for you. Al-haram never satisfies. Al-haram never brings good result. It may be a moment of pleasure, two moments of pleasure, but then it will have a long-lasting suffering that comes afterwards. Whereas when you do what Allah wants, there could be difficulty in that. Imagine praying every day 5 prayers and making wudu. I'm not saying this is an easy matter. There's going to be difficulty. I obviously expect difficulty. You're wearing al-hijab, mashallah, may Allah strengthen you all. I'm not suggesting here that it's going to be something easy. Hey, that's going to be something difficult, especially in this day and age that we live in. When you walk out or you're on your social media scrolling and seeing every second woman wearing the best of whatever it is, so attractive, so beautiful, with so much makeup, and then you're thinking, look at the mirror, why am I dressed in this way? How do I fit into all of this? It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to uphold your hijab. But if you are to do this, then you understand there is great reward in this. That is what taqwa is. That's the test in life. That is it. The test. You know, when I say test, that implies what? Difficulty. When I say you have an exam this Friday, already you're panicking. Oosh, difficulty, struggle. I need to wake up extra hours in the night. When I say the worldly life, Allah put us here for a test, it implies the same thing. It's going to be difficult. There's going to be hardship. But at the end, the result, the reward's going to be fulfilling. Imagine you passed your exam and you're sitting there in class resting. Ah, alhamdulillah, finally my hard work paid off. Right? Yalla, we're finishing off in 2 minutes. You see how excited you are? Imagine then the greater excitement you'll enjoy on the Day of Judgment. And the Day of Judgment for each and every single one of us, it's very soon. It starts the day you die. And the day you die, the day you and I die, is any day. No one is guaranteed to live this night. No one of us here is guaranteed that we'll wake up next morning. Wallahi, you know, yesterday we prayed a janazah on a 15-year-old. 15-year-old, he died. May Allah have mercy upon him. This is yesterday, here in Australia, here in Sydney. 15 years old, gone. So uphold the taqwa, do what Allah wants, keep away from what Allah forbid. وبإذنillahi تعالى, you'll be very impressed with the result in your grave. And when you meet Allah Azza wa Jal, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us all goodness, ask Allah Azza wa Jal to protect you all from evil and sin. And may Allah Azza wa Jal be with you all in your exams, in your worldly life affairs and situations. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from us, to forgive our sins and our shortcomings. إنه ولي ذلك القادر عليه. جزاكم الله خيرا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.